You're listening to You Would Think, the Philly Sports Podcast. I'm your host, Kyle Collington, and joining me, as always, it's Mike Giletto.
What's up, buddy?
What's up?
How are you doing?
Good. We just got done hanging out for a little while, playing a little bit of Madden, playing a little bit of NHL 19, you know, waiting for 19 to come out. Before we get today's show started, I'm here to tell you, you can find the show on Twitter at YWT Podcast. You can find me at K Collington and Mike at Mike_Giletto. You can also find the show on Facebook, Instagram, Podbean, iTunes, Google Podcast, LastWordOnSports.com, and our brand new YouTube channel.
Yep.
And that's about that.
Yeah. That's it.
So let's get into today's show. We got a lot to talk about.
We do.
Eagle season starts on Thursday. Yeah. Flyers are a month away. Training camp starts, I think, next week.
We're recording the show on Sunday, yeah, as we've been doing recently.
Yeah, and full disclosure, we haven't figured out what we're going to do during the actual Eagles season, like after this week starts, because we're going to be recording before the Sunday game, but then the show won't be out till after the Sunday game.
Yeah, it's weird. We're going to figure something out.
Yeah, so we don't exactly know how we're going to cover football. Let us know on Twitter how you think we should handle that. Should we predict for the games? Should we, you know, we'll figure that out.
Yeah, but this is our last Sunday without NFL football until February. So yep, that's a good thing.
And the Eagles kick off Thursday night. They get the rings.
Yep.
The banners go up. And then they play the Atlanta Falcons.
Yes, they do.
No, I think it's an L.
I do, too.
Just off the top, I think it's a loss.
I do, too.
We still don't know who the quarterback is.
It sounds like it's going to be Foles. There were reports that it was Foles. But then...
Yeah, but you're not going to tell Atlanta that Carson Wentz is playing until you have to.
Right. I think
the injury report has to be in 90 minutes before the game.
Right. There were reports that it was going to be Foles. And then Peterson had a press conference today on Sunday saying, you know, thanks for putting words in my mouth, basically.
Right.
He was angry.
He wanted to play some games.
Right.
He wanted to play some games. He said, yeah, I'll know Friday. You guys won't, because I'm not going to tell you.
Right.
But I'll know who
but
it is
But he basically
Friday.
Said, because I don't want to land a game plan for one guy. I want them to, you know, have a chance of playing either guy.
Yeah, exactly.
Now, he did confirm Wentz still isn't clear by the doctors.
Right, so. But that can change. If that changes at 4 p.m. on Thursday, then he's good.
Right.
Like, he doesn't have to get cleared until he's cleared.
But I think, regardless of who it is, if it's Foles or Wentz, I think this is an L.
Either way, I just think there's a hangover. The fans are going to be... fired up all day.
There's a hangover. You're playing against a team that you knocked out in the playoffs. They're going to be hungry.
Yeah.
Foles, even though he is the Super Bowl MVP, I still don't trust, which is a weird...
And this team is coming off of a rusty preseason.
Yeah. I don't take any stock in preseason.
No, but at the
None
same
at
time...
All. No.
I don't care about the W's and the L's. I care about how they look, and they looked... bad.
Nah, preseason, the coaches have a real narrowed playbook.
I understand.
There's really not much to it.
I'm talking physically speaking, right? Does Jason Peters play Thursday?
No.
It's tough.
Yeah, I think it's still an L. I agree with you. But
Speaking of Jason Peters, Mailata made the roster.
He did.
And we talked about that a couple weeks ago. He's the Australian rules football kid. The Eagles drafted in the 7th round. And honestly... we talked about it when your dad was on the show. I think he's on the roster because if you cut him, he'll sign somewhere else.
Yeah, you're probably right
there. And you can't put him on the practice squad.
Right.
Ideally, you'd love to stash him on the practice squad, but everybody else gets a chance to sign him, and somebody will give him a roster spot. The kid's just got too much pure talent.
Yeah, football's a weird sport. It's the only sport where you... Well, probably not the only one, but it's one of the only sports where you can just start at age 22 and be an NFL player.
And I'm sure he's played Australian rules football.
No, he played rugby.
Same difference.
No, it's not the same.
It's
just physical.
Right, but he's an athlete.
Sure.
He's not Vince Papale showing up at a training, you know, at an open tryout and landing an NFL job. You know, he has been an athlete for several years playing rugby, playing Australian rules football. Like, he just doesn't know how to play offensive line, and he's learning.
Right. Yeah.
But... that being said, he's been an athlete. It's not some schmo coming out of the supermarket, right?
I mean, sure.
But either way, I understand what you're saying. Playing the game at a super high level. It's like somebody from curling deciding they want to play in the NHL.
Right.
It's like it just doesn't happen. You know, somebody from cricket coming and playing baseball. Although, I could see that happening. Honestly. I don't know if it's happened. It wouldn't surprise me if cricket picked up a little bit of steam internationally, if an MLB player wouldn't, or if an MLB team wouldn't try to pick up on a batsman.
Right.
So, regardless, Eagles coming up on Sunday. or Thursday. I'm sorry.
Thursday night.
We're both pretty excited. It's nice to see that the team is going to get the national spotlight. You put the banner up. You get the rings. It's going to be a great night for the city.
It really is. Yeah.
It's going to be parade part two.
Yeah. Oh, this is your chance to just brag for the league.
Exactly.
Essentially.
Somebody mic up Jason Kelce, please. Right. Please. Either let him make a speech or just stick a wire on him, you know, mic'd up style.
All right.
But regardless, it's going to be interesting to see where this team goes. I think on last week's show, I called 11-5.
10-6, I think you
said.
Was
it 10-6?
I believe so.
Either way, I think they're going to make the playoffs because the rest of the division is atrocious.
Yeah.
I don't think anybody else in the division wins more than 6 games.
I mean, you're probably right there.
Maybe if Dak does have a quote unquote bounce back season, maybe they get up to 7-9 or 8-8.
Right.
But I don't think they're a 10 win team. I don't think the Giants are a 10 win team. No, by the way, no, I don't want to hear about Saquon Barkley.
He's a stud, though.
Sure, but he hasn't played a snap in the NFL yet.
No, but he's going to be a stud, regardless.
I've heard people, with all seriousness, putting him in best running back in the league talks before he plays a snap.
You have seen him in the preseason a little bit.
What did you just say about the preseason?
I don't think any stock into it.
Exactly.
But, he's still a hell of a player, hell of an athlete.
He's a talented football player, but it doesn't matter. You haven't done anything yet.
I think he's the best running back in the division. Like, I think that's easy. Okay. Maybe not because you got Elliott. Yeah, it's true.
And
so maybe it's not easy, but
even if he's up there, that's fine. Remember what Sheldon Brown did to Reggie Bush his rookie year?
Yep.
Okay. That happens. Let's see if Saquon Barkley pops back up.
You won't be able to do that anymore.
Okay.
Now you can't even hit a player without a flag.
Yeah, I know.
What they've done to the NFL is a disgrace, by the way.
Yeah.
This whole head down or leading with your head thing, like, your head is the front of your body when you go to make a tackle. You're going to lead with your head 10 times out of 10.
Well, not 10 times
out of 10. 9 times out of 10?
Sure.
I mean, it's just, it doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
They're ruining the NFL. Just give them flags.
I understand concussion protocols, and I understand concussion concern. I really do. But at a certain point, you're watering down your product.
Yeah.
And watering down your product a little bit for safety is great. The NHL, they got rid of most of the big hits. They suspend, they suspend big, dirty hits. They're really taking it seriously. The NHL has done a good job of protecting their players while not really watering down their sport, in my opinion.
Exactly.
Because you still have the guys like the Dustin Byfuglies and the Zdeno Charas and even like Tom Wilson, who can lay hits. And yes, in Wilson's case, most of them are dirty. Regardless, you still have your Dustin Byfuglies and your big, ugly guys who can still throw big, ugly hits. Robert Hagg threw a bunch of hits this year. For a long time, he led the league until he was scratched down the stretch.
Sure.
And I think that's part of his effectiveness as a player, by the way. But how many suspensions were handed out in the NHL this year? Not a ton.
No.
10, 15?
I don't have the number in front of me.
No, me neither. I'm just, of the ones I remember for dirty hits, there weren't a ton. In the NFL, if they want to propose these new rules, it's going to have to be more than just flags.
Yeah.
Like, if you're really serious about this, you're going to have to start suspending people. And if you're suspending people for football tackles, it's going to be tough.
It's going to be a joke. I mean, like you said, I understand maybe making it a little less, on the head or whatever, and making watering down just a tiny, tiny bit for safety in the future. But these guys come into the NFL. They sign these contracts. They know what you're getting into.
Right.
It's your choice to get your head banged,
Unless your name is Maialata, you've been playing football since you were 5.
Yeah. Yeah, chances are by the time you get to NFL, your brain's already mangled anyway.
Yeah. That's fair.
Let's just be honest here. But
we've learned that by looking at the Giants in the past.
Right. But it's just, I don't understand the whole, like, this targeting rule is just dumb.
Yeah.
This leading with the head shenanigans that they're doing to the NFL. I mean, I know they called it, like, on the side of, like, call it every time in the preseason is kind of what they've been doing.
Yeah.
So hopefully that doesn't transfer to the regular season.
Well, they want to establish a track record.
Right.
Right. They want to establish, hey, if you do this, we're going to call it. And I mean, NFL refs are a little sketchy. I mean, there's holding on every play.
Yeah.
There's holding on every play. It's just a matter of when they decide to call it.
And it's kind of been an NFL thing the last few years. Every time there's a play, whether it's small or big, the first thing you do is look for that little yellow marker in the bottom.
Yeah.
See, is there a flag?
They call a lot. And that's one of the reasons, I've talked about it on this show before, that I don't watch as much football as I watched as a kid. And that's part of it. Because a game takes 5 hours.
Right. I mean, we'll talk about, I mean, I know baseball is a big issue, and I know football, they think it's a big issue, or at least they're going to think it. It's pace of play, and they're destroying pace of play.
Right.
There's going to be so many stops. There's going to, it's just, it's going to interrupt the flow of the game.
Okay. Yeah, I agree. And it's just, football was already a little questionable for me because they play for 6 seconds and then stop for 35 and then they play for six seconds.
Nah,
and they,
I love the game of football.
No, and I love football, and football plays with emotions in a way that hockey can't do.
I was sitting down on my couch all day yesterday, Saturday, watching college football.
Right.
College football's back, which I'm excited about.
Yeah. And like, I understand. I love football. I do. It just, the start and stop, I can't get into the flow of the game. You know, hockey games, a lot of times you'll go two, three, 4 minutes without a whistle. And then when there's a whistle, they stop for 20 seconds and then they're right back to it.
Right.
You know, 30 seconds if it's a goal and they have to show highlights. Like, it's just a faster paced game.
Sure.
And this is one of those things that the NFL can overcome if they don't make decisions like the hitting decision. Because it's just another thing on top of the pile. Like, I'll still watch the NFL, but if they start calling every hit, it's going to be tough.
Yeah.
Like, if the only legal way to hit a guy is to push him out of bounds, then it's just, it's going to make it a difficult product to watch.
It is. I mean, ratings have been down for the NFL the last year or two anyway. I mean, with play, with the political stuff, with all of it. I mean, the NBA is starting to take over as, like, America's sport.
I agree. And I think,
whether you like it or not, it's just the case.
And I think there's a market there for hockey if they choose to jump into it. I think the Vegas story last year was big for them. I don't know how much it's worked. I don't think they're going to surpass hockey, or I don't think they're going to surpass basketball or even football,
and probably not even baseball.
I think they'll catch baseball.
I don't think so.
I think the NHL catches baseball by the middle of the 2020s.
Maybe you're right.
Within the next 10 years, just because, and part of that is I think that baseball's dying.
I don't know about that.
I think baseball's dying.
I don't know about that. Well, why do you say that?
Attendance numbers are down. TV numbers are down. This year they've turned to Facebook Live and Twitter Live to broadcast games.
Mm-hmm.
And the average baseball fan, I was listening to a sports radio station here in Philly this morning, and one of the DJs said that the host, not the DJs, the host of the show said that the average baseball fan is 64.
Yeah, I believe it. So why would you put a game on Facebook? That's the first question.
Why would you put a game on Facebook? And the second is, what are you doing to engage younger fans? Because the 64-year-old generation... What's the average lifespan? 75. And like that, I don't think I'm being super insensitive when I say that, but your audience is literally dying out.
Right.
And you're not passing it along to a younger generation. Baseball games these days are much more about, hey, let's go hang out and drink some beers and walk around the stadium and see the cool stuff.
No, then there's things that they have to fix in the game too. I mean, nowadays it's home run or strikeout.
Yeah. It's funny. He was talking about that this morning too, in this conversation about baseball. And I'm going to just completely rip off the conversation here.
That's fine.
Batting averages are down.
Yeah. Oh, you could bat 210, but drive, you know, hit 40 home runs and everybody's fine with it.
Yeah. There's more guys below the Mendoza line than ever. You know, that 200 batting average. It really is. It's feast or famine. It's strikeout or home run.
Yeah. And now everybody, you know, does the shift, which I hate the shift. I'm a big proponent of getting rid of the shift.
That was also in the conversation.
Yep. See, there we go. Me and this guy, I don't know who it was, but we have the same viewpoints, apparently.
I'll tell you off the air.
Okay. We don't want to give him any free press.
No.
Not that he really needs it.
No. Yeah, the shift is...
And there's like, sure, there's probably not a huge way to really monitor it, but like the easiest thing to do would be have, you know, two guys on each side of second base.
As a rule?
Yeah.
But because then if your second baseman is one step over, then he's pretty much playing. That's basically where the shift plays.
Yeah,
anyway.
It's to get rid of the extreme shift. Yeah, it's playing to get rid of the extreme shift.
Right. And but even then, like, what purpose does that serve? Like, it doesn't matter.
It puts more guys on base.
Yeah, but guys need to learn how to hit against the shift.
Not when these guys are jamming you inside. I mean, pitchers pitch, like, for the shift.
Like, I understand.
They jam you inside. I mean, try taking a, 96-mile-an-hour fastball in your hands, opposite field.
I understand, but at a certain point, you got to adapt.
I mean, of course.
And if we've gotten to the point where pitchers have adapted to pitching against the shift, then hitters need to either adjust to hitting against that type of pitching, or offense is just going to die. Because as pitchers get better and better at pitching in those situations, batting averages are going to continue to drop.
Yeah, but I don't
production
know about...
is going to continue to drop, and then there's no offense.
I mean, I don't know if there's no offense because there still are a ton of home runs. I mean, home run numbers are up even back from the days of McGuire Bonds. Like, home runs just across the board have gone up.
I understand that, but most of those are on mistakes. You know, pitchers try to pitch them in on the hands, and they make a mistake and put it out across the belt.
Right.
And then the player hits it 600,000 feet.
Right, but it's either home run or strikeout. I mean, I don't know how we got onto this whole topic.
We're still in the summertime. You know, hockey season hasn't kicked off yet, although we will be doing something a little later in the show. As a start of a series before the NHL season begins in about four weeks. Flyers' first game is a month from Tuesday.
There you go.
So 32 days from date of recording, 31 days from date of release. That's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
I'm excited.
I'm excited too. But right now I'm in football mode.
Yeah. So talk to me about what the Eagles have to do to win this game on Thursday.
What they have to do, I mean, it's easy.
Let's say Nick Foles is your quarterback.
Yeah, the cliche stuff is, you know, don't turn the ball over. Like, that's simple.
Whoa.
It's simple.
What a concept.
Try to limit Julio Jones because he's one of the best wide receivers in the league.
Okay.
You do that and you have a chance.
Okay.
But I think the Eagles' defense is good enough to do those things. They just made a minor trade with the Bears for safety.
Yeah, it's a pretty nothing trade.
Yeah, it's nothing. But I think their defense is good enough to contain the run game with Devontae Freeman and Tevin Coleman. Matt Ryan, still don't know who Matt Ryan is. Like, is he elite? Is he not elite? Like,
by the way, speaking of the Bears, they added Khalil
Mack.
I
know. That's a hell of a trade. Yep. I'm trying to think of what the trade was. It was Khalil Mack, a third and a sixth, something like that,
right,
for like two firsts, a second, and a fourth. I might have the later picks flip-flop, but that's a great move.
Yeah, see, the Bears are in a tough spot. I don't think they have a talent to be a 12-win team. I think they can be a 7-8-9-win team.
And what pick does that get you? 14, 15?
The problem is their division is loaded.
Are they, though? I mean, you have
You're
Green Bay, obviously.
You're playing behind the Vikings and Green Bay.
I know.
You're only getting two free wins out of your division every year.
Sure.
And that's the Lions.
I don't even know if the Lions are a free win. I mean, Matt Stafford is still good. The rest of the team's just ass.
Right. But that's the closest thing you're getting to a free win.
Right.
Right. Look at the NFC East. The Redskins are two free wins. And then you figure to get at least two of four out of the Giants and the Skins.
Right.
Or the Giants and the Cowboys.
Yeah.
The AFC East, there's free wins there. The AFC South, there's free wins there. The NFC South. Like, there's every division has a couple of weak teams.
Right.
The NFC North is probably the least of them.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree.
It's probably the deepest division, especially now that I think the Bears are a
legitimate
team.
I don't know about
the
deepest division because the NFC...
I think it is now.
Nah, the NFC South is ridiculous.
Yeah.
With the Saints, the Panthers.
That's fair.
Saints, Panthers, who else is in
that? Bucks.
Bucks. The Falcons. Yeah, there you go. So...
Yeah, no, that might be the best division in the league. You might be right. But I think the NFC North is a stronger division than average. And I think the Bears are a good team. I think the problem is they're not better than Minnesota or Green Bay. I hope.
Maybe not.
I hope for their sake that they have a good offensive line. and I don't really know much about their offensive line. I hope for their sake they have a good offensive line, because Mitch Trubisky is a talented quarterback.
He's a weird one because he didn't have a great year last year. He was decent.
In 5 years, he might be the best quarterback in the NFC North.
The NFC North. Well, you still have Rodgers, depending on how he is in 5 years.
In 5 years, if Rodgers and Stafford should both be at least on the heavy decline, if not retired.
I don't know if they will. I mean, Rodgers has just signed a massive contract.
Yeah, let's talk about that. That was $186 million?
Something like that, yeah.
What's Carson going to sign for?
Yeah, that's down the line. Let's not talk about that. Let's just enjoy what we have right now. But
yeah.
Speaking of big contracts, the Odell Beckham, I don't know if we talked about this last week.
I think we had just missed the news. Okay. I think it happened right after we recorded.
Yeah. So he signed for like $95 million.
Yeah, he got his money.
I mean, they had to do it because he's one of the best wide receivers in the league, and he's the face of their franchise, essentially.
He was a free agent all summer. But I'm surprised nobody else came with bigger money.
No, I don't think he was a free agent. He was an extension.
Oh,
I
this
think.
Was an extension?
I'm pretty sure it was an extension, okay. Yeah.
Okay. I'm mistaken then.
Yeah, but they had to do it just because he's the face of the franchise. But I don't love giving him this much money because he's an absolute lunatic.
Oh, yeah.
He's an absolute head case.
Although, in the NFL, it's not that big a deal. He gets a signing bonus, but his salary, if the signing bonus was relatively low, I don't know what it was. Look it up.
Well, no, his guaranteed money was like $95
million. Oh, that was guaranteed?
Yeah, $95 million guaranteed.
Jesus Christ, that's a bad deal then.
I think. Hold on. Don't quote me on that.
Okay, because...
Talk amongst yourselves.
Right. The thing about the NFL is, if his salary is high and the signing bonus is fairly low, if he ever does something stupid, you just cut him and you stop paying him. But if a whole bunch of that was wrapped up in signing bonus, then, oh boy, that could be a tough one.
Yeah. Hold on. For some reason, it's not, you know, nothing's coming up right now. So.
Well, if you're listening and you care about the Odell Beckham Jr. contract, then you probably already know what it is. But either way, if he does something stupid, he'll get cut. He'll stop counting too bad against their cap. And...
Okay, I'm sorry. It was worth $95 million. $65 was guaranteed.
Oh, my God. That's a lot of money.
Yeah.
That means base salary is pretty low for the next 5 years.
Annual price tag of $19
million. It's a lot of money.
Yeah. And like I said, I think they had to do it just because he's the face of their franchise and one of the best wide receivers in the league.
Right.
But one, I don't
love
paying.
Eli's not getting any younger.
Right.
They don't have a quarterback of the future. This Barkley kid they think is going to be good, but you don't know yet.
Yeah. I mean, they had to do it. I don't love paying wide receivers, and he's a nutcase. So it's a weird one for me.
Yeah, I agree. But give me a score for Thursday. Now, we're probably not going to do this for the rest of the season because, again, we're recording before games and putting the show out after the game.
Right.
In the meantime, but give me a score for Thursday night. Our fans will have a chance to listen before that game so that we can get a real prediction here.
I will go Atlanta Falcons 24, Philadelphia Eagles 14.
Okay. I got 31-17 Falcons.
Okay.
I think the Falcons do some damage, but no, I had to shout out the Bears. You know, my dad is a diehard Bears fan. I don't know if you knew that.
I did actually know that. But
so I hear a lot of Trubisky talk from him.
No, he's a good player. They got Allen Robinson who came over from Jacksonville.
Penn State escaped disaster on Saturday. Yeah. He's a big Penn State guy.
Yeah, that was a hell of a game. I thought that was going to be, you know, an ugly game in Penn State's favor.
Right.
But that ended up being a great game.
Man, that Appalachian State team has a little bit of a reputation.
Yeah.
Weren't they the one who beat, I think it was Michigan, about 10 years ago?
Did they?
Was a massive upset, or Oklahoma, or
there was
one of the top tier.
There was a massive upset this weekend with Maryland beating Texas. That was the second year in a row where Maryland has beaten Texas.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's a rivalry.
It was a big upset.
But. Yeah, Penn State survived relatively unscathed coming out of Saturday.
Right. But back to the trade, because I didn't really dive into that Khalil Mack trade.
Which trade? Khalil Mack?
Okay. Yeah. Now, you said maybe they get around 7-8 wins, something like that. I mean, that puts you at what? 15th, 16th overall? I guarantee you the two first-round picks.
They're not good picks.
They're not going to be a Khalil Mack. There's not many Khalil Macks in the league.
Probably fair to say.
It was a no-brainer.
Yeah, I think
I would have done it in a heartbeat if the Eagles could have pulled something like that off.
The big question is how long Khalil Mack has left.
He's 24 years old.
Is he really?
He's young. Okay. Yeah, he just got drafted a couple years ago. Yeah, that's why John Gruden tearing that team apart. He's going to destroy that team.
He's going to Chip Kelly it?
Yeah.
Well,
let me look at Max age, because I'm pretty sure he just got drafted like two years ago. Yeah,
that's a phenomenal deal, because then you're starting to build around Trubisky.
He's 27 years old.
He's 27, so he's in his prime.
And he's an absolute animal.
Right. He can play for another 6 or 7 years at a high level.
Yeah.
You know, in that position. Yeah, I think it's a great move. Yeah. I think they added an absolute stud. And it's something to build around, right? You got Trubisky. You're starting to put some pieces together. You got Trey Burton, you know, to tie it back to the Eagles.
Right.
Who can play quarterback in a pinch. And you just have some things to build.
I just caught that.
It took you a second.
Sorry, I was taking a sip of water.
It took you a minute there.
Yeah.
You can play quarterback in a pinch.
There you go.
And, you know, he's got a good passer rating.
Yeah, but he doesn't have Nick Foles, though. True. To catch the ball.
Doesn't have a stud receiver exactly. Like Nicky. Regardless, the Bears are going to be an interesting team.
Yeah.
I think they
can. They're going to be fun to watch.
I think they can make a play for the wild card.
They could. I mean,
it's going to be tough. I think running back still, good the South is.
Right, and I think running back still an issue, or still a question mark, really, with Tariq Cohen. But
I agree. Maybe the Eagles get on the horn.
Maybe.
Eagles have a little bit of depth at running back. Maybe you work something out there.
Right.
I know we talked about it a couple weeks ago. Did Pumphreys make the 53-man
He did not.
Roster?
No, it was It was Smallwood.
So your dad called it.
Fourth one, yeah.
It was a definite cut,
or
I believe your father's words.
Yeah, I believe so. So it was Sproles, Smallwood, Clement, and Ajayi were the four.
Yeah, that's a good four.
Yeah.
That's about what you expected. Maybe Pumphrey signs with the Bears.
There you go. Maybe.
You never know. They could probably use it.
You never know.
So I think that's about it for football talk. Give me a score.
I did. 24-14. You said 31-17.
We did do that. These Sunday recordings are weird. We recorded on Monday for so long. Switching to Sunday really threw
really
me off.
Really screwed the whole thing up.
Yeah. So, okay. We both have the Eagles losing. And we'll see. Either way, it'll be a good night. Get to watch the boys get the rings. It'll still be a lot of fun.
Either way, football's back, and I'm excited about it.
Yeah, sure.
Let's move on to the Phillies.
Okay. Yeah, let's talk some
Phillies.
Unless
you had something else to say.
No, I was going to go into the Flyers. I forgot we were going to talk some Phillies.
Yeah, I mean.
I was going to move into my Flyers feature.
There are three games, but now this is going to be a long episode, it feels like. We're already 27 minutes in.
Maybe. We'll see.
But, yeah, the Phillies, three games back of the Braves. They lost an interesting one last night to the Cubs. Did you watch any of that?
I did not. I missed that game.
They lost 7-1.
Yeah, it doesn't feel good.
No.
As long as the Phillies are within 4 or 5 games, it really doesn't matter. Because 7 of their last 10 are against the Braves.
No, I understand that.
No, and I understand it literally matters. But if you're within striking distance, if you win 6 of those 7 against the Braves, you can make up 6 games worth of ground.
Of course.
And you don't want to put that pressure on yourself. But if you're not out of it until you're 8 games out of it.
I mean, the thing with the Phillies is it's their defense has been killing them. Yeah. They made another mistake against the Nationals when Nola pitched a gem of a game.
And the bullpen hasn't been spectacular.
No, they haven't.
And these are things we knew. These are things we knew at the deadline.
Yeah.
When you and I called for a Brad Hand type acquisition, it just seems like they don't have it.
No.
You know,
That's why, like, I really want to see what this team could do in the playoffs. Like, I don't think they're going to make an insane run if they made it, but I want to see what they could do in like a 4-man rotation when you can move a guy like Eflin to the bullpen or Pivetta to the bullpen.
I want to see what this team does playing meaningful baseball down the stretch. And if you can get into the playoffs and get your boys some experience, I think that's huge for you moving forward as an organization. Getting your time, getting actual playoff innings for a lot of your guys.
Right.
Like Michael Franco is a big piece of this team. Never played an inning of postseason baseball.
Right.
Right. Stuff like that. You know, your vets need to have that sort of experience to really help this team move forward next year.
Yeah.
I think Rhys Hoskins in left field is a mistake.
I agree.
I don't know what you're going to do about it.
I don't know either.
like, it's tough.
Yeah, they're not going to put a guy who's making, what, $25 million a year on the bench. They're just not. Or $20 million, whatever he's making. They're not going to put Santana on the bench.
No.
But the correct move would be get
instead.
Get
have him. They're having him lead off.
Yeah. Right.
Which is weird.
Yeah, it is weird. But yeah, I agree. I mean, they should put Hoskins at first because Hoskins does not have a great arm and is not a great left fielder. He's one of the worst left fielders in the league.
Yep.
Fielding wise.
I'd be willing to.
But.
Get
a guy that can actually play left field. Maybe you give some, you know, Roman Quinn, who looks pretty good actually.
Yeah.
Maybe you give him some more time, and then you're able to play Odubel a little more. But Santana hasn't really been that good either at the plate.
No, maybe
he strikes out a lot.
Maybe you should platoon him down the stretch and just literally every other day, Hoskins Santana, because
right.
I think Santana could use the rest. I think Hoskins could use the reps, and then you have the other one available in the late innings as a pinch hitter.
Right.
Right. I don't think it's the worst idea.
No, I don't either.
I think Santana needs to get some rest before the playoffs.
If you're gonna make the playoffs.
Yeah. Right. But I honestly think a pure platoon would be good. Or two games, if you want to let a guy play two games in a row and get a little bit of a rhythm going.
Right.
You know, play Hoskins Monday, Tuesday, play Santana Wednesday, Thursday.
Yeah.
But Hoskins needs to come out of left field.
Yeah.
He's bad.
He's just not a good fielder.
It's not good. No, it's just not good.
Yeah. But they finish up a 3-game set with the Cubs today.
Yep.
That game's going on right now, actually, as we're recording. It's nothing, bottom of the first.
Okay.
There you go.
There's your update.
There's your update. The game's going to be well over.
Yep.
By the time this is up. And then they play a Labor Day matinee.
Okay.
Miami. They play division game from here on out, except for that series
against the Rockies in Colorado.
Yeah, they play Miami tomorrow at 1:10.
Which, that series, if you time it right, that series could be a good time to get your bats going.
Yeah.
You get that Coors Field air.
And it's a 4-game series, too, in Colorado.
Right. You get a little time to swing the bats. So, I will see. And then it's the two huge series with the Braves coming down the stretch.
Yeah. No, they play
7 out of their last 10 or 11.
They play a series with the Marlins, then the Mets, then the Nationals, then the Marlins again, then the Mets again, then the Braves.
The nice thing is that's a lot of W's.
It could be.
It should be.
It should be, 100%.
Right? The Mets are the Mets in September, so we know what they are. The Marlins are trash because they're the Marlins. The Nationals are a dumpster fire and falling apart every day. That should be a lot of wins.
And then I'll tell you what.
How many games is that? Was that 5 series?
5 or 6.
15 or 16 games? You got to win at least 12 of them.
And then I'll tell you what. The reason I don't have that exact number is because I was looking at the Braves schedule. The Braves schedule, they have a tough ride coming up.
Yeah, what do they got?
They finished with the Pirates today. Pirates are a playoff contender. Yeah. Then they have 3 games with the Red Sox, the best team in baseball.
Yep.
Then they have...
Although those might be the September call-up Red Sox.
Sure. But
they're cruising.
Yeah, but they're not out of the woods winning the division. The Yankees are still there.
Sure.
And then the Braves have a 4-game set with the Arizona Diamondbacks, who are a very good team.
Who are in the thick of a playoff race.
Yeah. So that's 4 games series. Right there. Then you got San Francisco Giants, they're winnable games. Then you have the Nationals, winnable games. Then you have the hottest team in baseball, the St. Louis Cardinals.
Yep.
Who are on an absolute tear.
And are pushing hard for a playoff
spot. Right now, they are in a first wild card spot.
Yep.
So, then you got 3 games with them.
They're probably not going to catch the Cubs, but they still want to make the playoffs.
Yeah. I think they're 4 or 5 games back of the Cubs.
Yeah, and you're probably not going to catch them because the Cubs are the Cubs.
Yeah. But, I mean, the St. Louis are just playing out of their minds. I mean, Carpenter's having an MVP-type season.
Yeah, and who's in the second wild card spot? Is it the Phillies?
The Brewers right now.
Okay. I don't want to face that St. Louis team in a wild card
game. They're red hot. Since they fired Matheny, the Schilt guy is just somehow a god.
Well, you're playing hard for your new manager.
Maybe.
This is probably just new manager.
I mean, they were playing 500. Shine. They were playing 500 ball when they got rid of Matheny.
It'd be a great story if they end up making the playoffs and winning that wild card game. And
he has a chance to win manager of the year, and he only managed half the season.
Yeah. Question for you.
What's that?
How do you feel about the concept of baseball managers wearing the uniform? No other sport does it.
No.
Football, they usually wear a sweater.
I don't know if it's because I'm used to it. But
hockey, they wear a suit.
Yeah.
Basketball, they wear a suit.
I don't know if it's because I'm used to it, but I'm fine with it.
It's weird when you think about it.
Sure.
And it's a throwback to the days of player managers. Right? You know, a lot of times your best player would also be your manager.
Right, but I don't expect these guys to wear suits either because they're playing in the, you know, dead heat of summer.
I could see them doing something like football where a guy wears a polo.
Right.
A polo and khakis.
Right.
And a visor. Doug Peterson. Look at you.
There you go.
But it's weird.
Yeah.
I understand it from a traditional standpoint.
Yeah, I've never thought about it because it's been this way forever.
Right, but even if you're wearing a polo and khakis and cleats, that's still fine.
Right.
At that point, you just look like you're going to play some golf.
Right.
But you can still come out. You can still yell at the manager. You know, still yell at the ump. You can still kick dart across home plate.
Right.
You can still do the angry manager Larry Boa thing. But seeing him do it in a Phillies uniform,
it's
weird.
It doesn't bother me.
It's
Look, I understand. Weird. I understand the what you're saying, and the concept itself is strange. But I guess because it's been this way for so long, I've never paid any mind.
And it's a traditionalist thing, and I'm not knocking it. It's just strange. It's almost like if enough people get hurt, the manager will play. And like that's not how it's going to work. It's like, oh, he's already ready.
But I'd be confident. I'd be confident putting Gabe Kapler in there.
Sure. Better like that might be the only thing he's better at than Charlie Manuel. But I'll give it to him.
Yeah, that's true. All right. Yeah,
Dallas Green could have done it for the 1980 Phillies.
There you go.
Anyway, I think we're done with the Eagles. We're done with the Phillies. It's time to get into the Flyers.
Yep.
Now, I proposed this to you off the air. I teased it last week on the show. I think we're going to go through the Flyers season month by month, and we're going to kind of preview it. It's going to be a pretty light preview. You know, we're not going to go hardcore in depth around every game, but just kind of get a feel, and then we'll add it up over the coming weeks and kind of come up with a tally of about how many wins the Flyers are going to end up with.
Okay.
So I'm going to run through every game here, and we're not going to touch on every individual, but I'm just going to run through it. In Vegas to open the season, in Colorado, at home against San Jose, on the road in Ottawa the next night. Home against Vegas.
That's so weird.
I know.
Play Vegas twice in a week.
Home against Florida, in Columbus, home against New Jersey, home against Colorado. You also finished Colorado early. In Boston, at home against the Islanders, on the road against Anaheim.
And then that finishes up October.
Yep. It's six games at home, six games on the road. So it's a 6-6 split.
Okay.
Two on the road. Home, road, two at home, one on the road, two at home, and then road, home, road.
And you have...
You have kind of a...
You only have a central
swing in Vegas and Colorado.
And you only have one back-to-back in there.
You only have one back-to-back, and it's home against San Jose, and then the next night you're in Ottawa.
Yeah.
I think the Flyers can win seven of those games.
You think so? Yeah. I haven't gone through them all.
I think you split with Vegas. I think you can beat Colorado. I think you can beat...
I mean, you can beat anybody. That's not a bold prediction by any means.
But we can't predict any further until we know who makes the roster.
Of course.
Who's playing third line center.
We know who's making the roster. We know what this team's going to consist of.
There's some question.
Not really.
There's some question coming out of the fourth line. Is it Frost? Is it Vorobiev?
It's not Frost. Get out of here.
I'm not saying it should be.
Neither am I. It just won't be. So I'm tired. I'm tired of this Flyer media circuit.
That's fine.
But I keep hearing about this third line center stuff, and it's all through Flyers, you know, social media, Flyers Twitter, the Flyer universe, whatever. That's not even what interests me. The other stuff interests me.
Like what?
To me, one, where the hell is Wayne Simmonds by the trade deadline? That's more interesting than who's the third line center.
I think if this team, and we'll get to that when we do February.
Yeah.
When you look at this team, if this team is in first place, I'm not trading Wayne Simmonds.
I agree. But that interests me, and the type of contract he gets interests me more than who's the third line center, because we all know.
I don't necessarily.
Regardless of who it is, they're the same player. This team isn't any better or any worse than who the third line center is.
Regardless, you're playing Ottawa,
mm-hmm.
who's going to be a dumpster fire.
Yeah, I mean, I don't like it. Where's what is the deal with Erik Karlsson?
They have to trade him. They have to.
They're a month away from the season.
They might wait until the deadline.
He says, "How did he not get traded at the draft when his price is going to be the absolute highest?"
Maybe they'll do what Colorado did last year. They waited like a month into the season to trade Matthew.
Yeah, that's true.
Right? Maybe somebody goes down, and now all of a sudden teams are scrambling for an extra defenseman.
Right.
And like, I know Erik Karlsson isn't an extra defenseman, but a team like the Flyers, if let's say it's not one of the top two, let's say Sanheim goes down. Now all of a sudden your defensive core looks pretty weak after Provorov and Ghost.
Right.
Now you're much more interested in renting Karlsson.
Right.
Whether you extend him or not is irrelevant. You're renting Karlsson.
Sure. Yeah.
Any team, if you lose a defenseman for 6 weeks.
Oh, of course.
You're in the market for Erik Karlsson.
Yeah.
Especially if you think you're a playoff team.
Right.
Right.
But so, yeah, the Wayne Simmons thing interests me more than the third line center. You see how Nolan Patrick looks in a whole full offseason, that interests me more than who the third line center is going to be.
I think Nolan Patrick, hot take. Ready?
Okay.
Nolan Patrick scores 25 plus this year. Goals.
How many did he have last year? 12, 13?
I think he had 35 points total. Look that up for me. I think Nolan Patrick's a 25-goal scorer with James Van Riemsdyk and Jacob Voracek, which we assume is going to be the second line. We don't know that, obviously, until the...
Damn, I'm good.
Was it 13?
13 goals.
Was it 35 points?
Total? 30 points.
30 points.
Yeah. 13, 17.
I think he scores 25 this year.
Yeah.
Like, you look at that, 13, he really only played half a season.
Yeah, I mean, the first half, he wasn't that good.
He scored a couple of goals.
And he wasn't good.
But he was hurt.
He was slow.
Yep. And we talked about
it. Wasn't good.
We talked about it ad nauseum. He had the same surgery Drew and Couturier had. It took them both 9 months to recover. It took him about 9 months to recover.
Yeah, I just remember watching the game, you know, his early games, and just thinking, like, I don't think this guy has the speed to be an NHL player. No, at that time he didn't.
No, and going back, Giroux and Couturier.
Right, no,
that
of course.
Whole first half of the season, they were just slow.
Yeah.
They weren't Giroux and Couturier.
But then by the time he hit the second half of the year, he looked great. So that interests me a lot more than the third line center is, how is he going to look, you know, the first week of the season after he just had a whole offseason of being healthy and actually training? Because essentially, he really didn't train. He hasn't trained in an offseason for, what, 2 years?
Essentially.
Before this?
Yeah.
So,
because I think he was even hurt his last junior
going
season.
Going into juniors, his last junior season, yeah, but he was still hurt.
So. All right, how many wins do the Flyers get in...
All right, so I'm going to just rattle them off for you because I got to go game by game because I don't even know who they... All right,
on
so,
the road in Vegas.
Loss.
On the road in Colorado.
Loss.
At home against San Jose.
W.
In Ottawa.
W.
Home against Vegas. Saturday matinee game. And the reason I mentioned matinee is because
loss.
They're flying in from the West Coast.
Loss.
Okay.
Because the Flyers stink in day games.
Sure.
They always have and always will.
Off preceding it.
Yep. Loss.
Home against Florida.
W.
On the road in Columbus.
W.
Really? Okay.
Yep.
At home against New Jersey.
I don't buy Columbus.
Okay.
At
home against New Jersey.
W.
At home against Colorado.
Let's go W. Damn, I have them having a good month.
You have them starting 0-2, but then winning six out of the next seven. In Boston. At the game I'll be at.
That's a loss. That's a game. Okay, nice.
You
that's
better call it a W.
No, it's a loss.
You better call it a W,
that's a
son.
Loss.
All right.
In Boston. Boston's a hell of a team.
That's fine.
And it's early enough where Boston's not going to be completely banged up.
Right. At home, Saturday matinee against the Islanders.
W. The Islanders stink.
And then they start their West Coast swing in Anaheim.
Loss.
Okay.
So what, I have eight, six?
Seven.
Seven?
Yeah.
And you said about it, you think they can win seven games, yeah. So there
I'm
you
actually,
go.
I'm actually going to keep track of this.
Okay.
And we're going to see over the win, we're going to add up how many wins we each have the Flyers getting this year.
There you go.
I think it's a fun little game. And, you know... It'll probably bleed into the season a little bit, unless we get a slow week and do two.
Right.
But that's okay. If we roll a couple games into the season, by then we're predicting February, March, April. Like, it's not that big a deal.
Yeah, that's fine.
But Yeah, you know, I figured that'll be a fun little segment. You can let us know on Twitter at YWT Podcast. How many wins do the Flyers have in September? Or in October, I'm sorry. Season starts October 4th against Vegas. We get to watch them put the banner up.
A little bit, yeah.
Hopefully that's motivation for the boys.
It could be, but Vegas is going to be pumped. Yeah, they're going to be electric.
You can let us know on Twitter at YWT Podcast. How many wins the Flyers have in October? You can follow me at K Collington and Mike at Mike_Giletto. You can also find the show on Facebook, Instagram, Podbean, iTunes, Google Podcast, LastWordOnSports.com, and our brand new YouTube channel. And on that note, it wasn't too long of a show after all.
No, it actually wasn't. No. We wrapped that up pretty quickly.
I knew my segment wasn't going to take forever.
Okay, yeah, there you go.
All right, well, I guess that'll do it. Thursday night, go Birds.
Go Birds.
And we'll see you next week. Trey Burton, who can play quarterback in a pinch.